chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Paul writes, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything is exposed by the light that becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ."
Kind of have an expectation that God's going to do something this morning. Are we okay? That God's Holy Spirit wants to work amongst us and in us. And I suppose we just had a very long passage read to you. And in the passage are 22 instructions. Okay? So if I take 5 minutes on each instruction, we'll be here well past lunchtime. But there are instructions everywhere, aren't there? If we just have a look at some of the ones that I've put on my PowerPoint. Okay, so just have a look for yourself. Here are the kind of instructions that you kind of see around. And, that's definitely me on the right-hand side. Being colourblind, of course, doesn't help that. Next one, please, Maggie. Let's just, Sadly, I'm not the person on the left-hand side. And I don't want to be the people on the right-hand side. Yeah. And there might be another one. Yes. There we go. Please don't swallow that one. And then lastly, these are more instructions. Okay. And... you can't see the one on the right. It gives you the instructions for washing, but then it says, "Give it to your mother. She knows what to do with it." But those instructions, and I was thinking, as you walk into church, there are little signs everywhere, aren't there? You must do this. You mustn't do that. You hot drinks, allergies, and all those kind of things. There are signs everywhere. And in a sense, Paul is saying to these people, these are the things you must do. And if we go back to the book of Ephesians, it's two halves. Chapters 1 to 3 are all about what it means that God has kind of brought you into his kingdom, that you're a child of God, that you're now a Christian. And chapters 4 to 6 are this is how you should live. And a couple of weeks ago, we did some clothes trying on. I showed you my dog walking coat and talked about what we take off. I put my new waistcoat on and told you what we put on. And this is like Paul continuing now with what they are to do. And there are 22 instructions that you as Christians or the church in Ephesus were supposed to be doing. 22 things. And I thought to myself, do you know, we could spend a lot of time talking about these. And because there's so many of them, we could get easily lost in the list that Paul has created. But what we need to start with is we need to realize that what Paul is saying is that we need to be imitators of God. Okay? That is the goal. That is the thing that he wants us to be doing. That not that we are the master of the universe, but that we have godly character. And when people look at us, they think to themselves, that's a very godly person. And I don't know if that happens to you. Or when people look at you, do they not see anything of God in your life? Because what Paul is saying is actually, I want you to become more godly. And of course, in Ephesus, as we've talked about, it was a very dark, sinful place. There was the worship of Artemis. There was all kind of temple prostitutes around. And people were enticed into dark things. And I think it says in the book of Acts that the people who were converted to Christianity burnt the scrolls that they had. And the value today would have been hundreds of thousands of pounds of stuff they had, which are all to do with the occult. And he said, get rid of it. And this now is how you should live. You should live differently. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use a bit of the King James Version. Does anybody use the King James Version these days? Probably, Abishai. So you'll know all these. These words will be very familiar to you. Because what I'm going to talk about is what it means to walk, okay? To walk in a certain way that God wants us to walk. To show that we are Christians. And the first thing that we talk about is that we are to have a life of love. And in the book, in the King James Version, it actually says, walk in love. And it takes me back, as soon as I think of that, I think to myself about walking hand in hand with my wife, okay? And I suppose that is part of walking in love, isn't it? But we are to walk in love. That means that our life is to be a life of love lived out before other people. And how do we demonstrate our love? Not just by the words we say, but the lifestyle that we have. And I think it says somewhere, I think in the book of John, 2 John, it talks about we must walk in love. And we see that phrase again. And it talks about how we are to walk like Jesus walked. So if we just think to yourself about the Bible, you kind of go to maybe one of the Gospels and you think about how Jesus lived. Now, was he somebody who loved people? My goodness me, this is going to be hard work this morning, isn't it? Okay, shall we just rewind the tape? Was Jesus somebody who loved people?
Yes!
Yes! Oh, great. That's good. Good start. Okay, now the next question is, how did he show his love? Ah, we're starting to talk now, aren't we? We're coming awake. Okay, so let's just shout something out. Come on. He died for us. Okay, well, let's go to the end of the gospel. Thought we might get a few more things in before we got to the end. But yes! Oh, he walked with people, didn't he? He literally spent time with people. And he wasn't just looking for the posh people or the nice people. It says that he spent time with sinners and tax collectors. The people nobody else wanted to spend time with. Jesus was there by their side, mixing with them, showing that actually God loved them and he loved them. And he wanted them to come to know God for themselves. So he then, we know that as he looked over Jerusalem, he had compassion for the city. As people were gathered around, we talk about feeding of 5,000. As people were gathered before him as he was teaching them, he had compassion on them. And he wanted them to be fed. And then we know that Jesus actually spent time with people healing them, touching the leper. And so Jesus' life was full of love. And as Megan so rightly said, that love was shown to the greatest depth by dying for people. Literally taking their sin and their rottenness and carrying it to the cross. He had a life of amazing love. And of course, what it says is that we are to imitate God. We are to be like Jesus. Michael Caine said there are two things you can't hide. One is being drunk. Maybe some people have worked on that one. And the other one is being in love. And if you're in love, people will probably see that. And what Paul is saying is you walk in love. You demonstrate your love by the way you live. And what we do know is that also Jesus loved his Father. And he lived a life of obedience to him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And so our love for people should be, our love for God should be demonstrated by how we live, how we treat other people, but also do we obey what God asked us to do? How are you doing on that one? How are you doing on what God is asking you to do? Are you obeying what he says in his word? Let's take a moment, shall we? Sometimes we do these sermons, we rattle through 100 miles an hour and go, blah, 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 and you get to the end, you go, ooh, what was all that about? Let's take a moment to think about our lives. Do you live a life of love for God and then show that to others? Is it seen? And if it's not, what do we do about it? What we do is we tap into the source, the God who is the God of all love, and draw down from him to change our lives. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you that we are truly loved by you. That even in the sin of our lives, you love us. Even in our failures, you still love us. In our brokenness, your love never changes, never fades, is always the same. I want to pray for us today, Father, as Paul wrote about walking in love. I want to pray that we would walk in love with you and in love with others, that your love would be seen and demonstrated through the lives we live, through the words we speak, and through the actions we commit. Lord, fill us with your love. May your Spirit just again fill us with the love of God for others and for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I was just visiting Frank the other day, and he was telling me his stories of how he was and how he's been in hospital. It reminded me of when I was in hospital, and that was a long time ago. I had major surgery 30 years ago, and more than that, much more than that, 30-something years ago. I remember being in hospital and, basically being opened up from down there to up here, and long scar and not nice, and not feeling great. And then I received a card from someone in the church, and opened the card, and it just said, "Today, God has shown me how much he loves you." And I tell you, if you know me, you know I'm not a crier. You know, there's some men out there, very modern, they cry at everything. But me, no. And I tell you, as I sat in the chair next to my bed, I sobbed. I absolutely sobbed. And then I felt the love of God through the Holy Spirit. And maybe today that's exactly what you need. You need the touch of God's Spirit on you to fill you with his love. Because you don't feel his love and you don't feel you're able to give it because it's something that's not within you. God can do that today. Just need to make yourself available and say, Lord, this is what I want. So we're going to walk in love, aren't we? Yeah? Okay, we're going to do the second one now. And that is walk as children of light. Okay, good old King James Version. I need to look this up. I'm going to read it to you, see what it says in verse 5. Okay, it says, for you were once darkness. Okay, it didn't say you were in the darkness. It says you were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. And then he goes on and he talks about the fact that there shouldn't be any sexual immorality. There should be no impurity. There should be no greed, nor any obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking. For these are out of place, but rather there needs to be thanksgiving. And what he's doing is actually saying this is how you were. As people, you were in darkness. That means you weren't, you hadn't had the light of Christ in your life. This is how you were living, and now you have the light of God. So therefore, there needs to be a massive change in what you do. You need to avoid certain things. You need to avoid immorality, impurity. You need to avoid greed and lustful thoughts and obscene talking. He goes on about all this stuff. And what he does, he says, there's darkness and there's light. Very plainly, darkness and light. And you are to walk as children of the light. You're to walk in the light of God. There you go. That's easy, isn't it? About choices and the choices we make. And it's very easy to get sucked into what the world is. And I talked about this last time when we talked about taking off and putting on. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. But clearly, Paul is saying there needs to be a change. And you need to be different. You need to stand out from the crowd. Because you are now a Christian who walks in light. And just as the challenges were there for the people of the first century, they are there for us today. To live lives that are pure and holy and pleasing to God. Don't know what else to say, really. It's pretty clear, isn't it? And again, it's that whole thing about this is what God wants us to do. This is what God wants us to become. How do we do that? We do it because of the Holy Spirit. And he is the Holy Spirit. And he will fill us and take away those desires. He will fill us and be the conscience that we need to know what is right and what is wrong. And maybe as you sat there, you're going, I know exactly what you mean, Will. Because my life is not all the things that God wants it to be. I know the way I speak. I know the things I think about and the things I watch are not holy and not pure and not what God would want. And believe today, God is asking for a change. That you start to live in the light and not in the darkness. Let's take a moment, shall we? To reflect, to think, maybe to repent of some of the things that are happening in your life that are not of God and not what God would want. Let's pray. And just allow the Holy Spirit to illumine, to shine his light in the dark places, to show you the things that he wants you to change, and hopefully give you a vision of what he wants you to become. Father God, we thank you that you call us to live in the light. We thank you for the way your Holy Spirit just shines your light on our lives. And today, Father, we are sorry for those things that we have done that have not pleased you. Maybe the acts of darkness that we know we've committed. And we ask today for your forgiveness for us. That by your Spirit you would wash us clean. You would take our sin from us. And you would strengthen us so that we might walk in the light with you. And Father God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to move on. We're going to walk this next one in wisdom. Okay, now the King James Version has got a very long word, and I don't even know if I could spell it. The word in the King James Version is we should walk circumspectly. Okay, hands up if you know what that means. Okay, Ashley, good for you. And Emma, of course, your teacher. You're teaching your year three children about walking circumspectly. But of course, it's that whole thing about walking wise, walking in wisdom. And that's what the NIV says, is that we are to be careful how we live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the very most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And so Paul says to these people, you need to be wise in how you walk, in how you live your life. You need to make good choices, because the choices you make will affect you and will affect your time with God, with time with others, your time in your family, your marriage, whatever. And the question is, how are we making good choices? Because it says the days are short. Now, as you get older, you do realize that, don't you? When you're 14, 15, 16, 17, trying to think who's the youngest person in the room. Whatever you are, yeah, well, look round. It's not you, Megan Thatcher. Maybe Laura's probably the youngest one, because I can see everyone here. Laura's young, and you know, you think you've got your whole life in front of you, but as the days count down, you realize, oh, there's not quite so much life as I've lived more than I've got left. But what Paul is saying is that actually, you know, we need to realize that however many days God has given us, we need to be very wise how we live them, how we spend the time we have. Because actually, none of us know how much time we have. And that time, God wants us to spend well for him and for others. To have wisdom. Because Paul says the days are evil. And again, we live in a dark society. It's getting darker and darker. And we need to be wise. We need to guard our hearts. We need to know our weaknesses. But we need to know how God wants us to live. I was thinking about this, and I thought about, do you know what? The Bible says if we lack wisdom, we can ask God. And that's found in James chapter 1. If we lack wisdom, and maybe some of us not knowing how we should live our lives, what lies ahead, what we should be doing. And God says, actually, you just need to ask me. And I wrote this, and whatever questions we have about what we should doing, what we should be doing, God has already got the answer for you. Because life is a privilege, isn't it? God has given us this life, and he wants us to use it wisely for him, to be a blessing to him and to others. Do you lack wisdom? Do you need direction? Do you need to know what God wants you to do next? He has the answers, and it's about coming to him. God's plan for you is laid out. We just need to get in tune with what he wants us to do. seats. Thank you. To walk wisely. Let's take a moment, shall we? In your mind, what are the things that God has planned for you? What are the areas that you're struggling with in terms of making decisions and going forward? There may be big financial decisions you have to make. Decisions that relate to your family, to their needs and their future. It may be about where should I work? What are the things that God wants me to fill my time with? What areas of ministry does God have for you? Whatever the question is, God has the answer. And Father God, we just thank you that your plans for our lives are to bless us. Father, they are rich plans. And I just want to pray today that revelation for some would come today. As they are here, as they are listening, Lord, that you would speak into their lives. You would show them very clearly how they should walk, where they should walk, and what they should do as they walk with you. Father, we pray for a revelation. We ask for that wisdom for every single one of us, that we would know the wisdom of God in our lives today. In Jesus' name. Amen. There's one more. And this one, I've been a bit cheeky, because it's not about walking. It's all about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's found in Ephesians 5:18. And it just says, basically, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. And that's not good. That's not good for you, not good for anybody. It says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. And then it goes on to say, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. And it just goes on, it just kind of flows that when the Holy Spirit fills you, stuff comes out. Praise and thanks comes out. And but what he's saying is basically, you have a choice here. You can either be filled with wine, which does you no good, or you could be filled with the Spirit. And as you've probably heard sermons on this before, but basically it's kind of the passive, and it just means keep going on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill your life. Don't be dry, don't be empty, but invite the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit fills your life, you will be directed. You will know God's love, God's wisdom. You'll know God's light in your life. And so bringing this kind of phrase, be filled with the Holy Spirit, brings everything together. The 22 things that God asked, or Paul asked the church in Ephesus, they are all answered and can all be done when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. The things we avoid and the things that we do can all be achieved when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. I wonder, is that something you want today? To know the filling of the Spirit of God. Because we want to pray for that today. And we will have some ministry time. And we'll be praying that God's Spirit fills your life. Because I suppose we've probably all been there. When we are walking through life trying to live for God. And yet we feel completely empty on the inside. And everything becomes a drudge, and everything becomes hard. And at times we feel like we want to give up. But it doesn't have to be that way. Because God's Spirit is available to every single one of us. I have the fun of having an electric car. And I feel very privileged, and I say that to you. But it does create anxiety. And that's why I've gone grey. No. We were at Joel's wedding in Cambridge, and it was lovely. And then you had to drive home, and the traffic on the motorways wasn't looking very good. And I worked out that I had about 15 miles more than I needed. And at that point, I'm going, I don't think I'd be able, I'm not sure I want to go home with 15 miles left. What if we get stuck in traffic? What if? And you just go, oh, no. So I thought, we need to charge up. So we went to McDonald's. Well, it's funny because we hadn't had any dinner, so I said to JC, well, maybe we'll stop on the way home, but McDonald's have very good chargers. So we sat and I had a cheeseburger, and JC had spicy chicken and something, and I plugged in and I charged up. And boy, that felt good. I knew I was going to get home on the charge and the battery I had left in my car. And maybe for you, as I joke about cars and electricity and plugging in, but maybe that's you. You run on empty. And that causes all kinds of issues. I really believe today, God, as I said at the beginning, that God wants to do something here this morning. That God is saying, I want to fill your life so that you're not empty, that you're overflowing. And that was the picture that Jesus gave. I think it's John chapter 6 or 7. He's at the feast. I think it was Tabernacles. And he just says, come to me. Come to me. And from within you, streams of living water are going to flow. And surely that's what we all want, isn't it? Not to live on empty, but to be filled with the Spirit. So actually, we go back to the beginning, we can be imitators of God in Christ. Because the Holy Spirit takes over. And instead of struggling, and instead of maybe using words we don't want to use, God takes over our lives and changes and transforms us. So in a moment, we're going to pray, we're going to ask God's Spirit to come and to fill us so that we might be more like Christ. There's a lovely phrase in this passage. It says, wake up, O sleeper, arise from the dead. And again, I think that's for us this morning. It's that sense of being called up to new life and to new energy and to new power. So we're going to do that. Will you walk with God in love, in light, in wisdom, and in his Spirit? I pray that you want to. And I believe when we want to, we will seek and we will receive from him. Let's take a moment to pray, shall we? It's a moment to be still. I'm going to invite the team to come up. I'm just going to allow you time to speak to God. And maybe this morning you're saying to the Lord, yes, this is what I want. I want to be filled today. I don't walk out this place the same. I walk out differently because the Spirit of God has filled me and given me all that I need for life and for godliness. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit who's been given to us so that we might become more like Jesus. And Lord, today we acknowledge that we are not all that we could be or should be. There are times when we do not walk in your Spirit. There are times when we don't do what you want us to do, Lord. There are times when we just feel empty. And Lord, today, we just want to pray that your Spirit would break out and he would fill our lives today. Not just a little bit, but to overflowing. Lord, we just want to pray that the water of the Spirit would just bubble up within us and overflow. that love, that life, that energy would come and fill us afresh. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.